email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hello. Hello. We don't know who we've... who's on the line there?
Victoria.
Hello, Victoria. Sorry. And David Gray is there as well. Hello. Sorry about that. Thanks so much for taking the call. Both of you are in New York. And you were at the tribute concert to Sinead and Shane last night. So how did it go for you, Victoria Mary Clark? It must have been very emotional.
Yes. I mean, obviously, it's a strange situation to be in because you don't ideally want to be at a tribute to your loved one. You'd rather just be with them. But you know, being as it was a tribute, it was actually beautiful. It was absolutely amazing. How good it was. It was just gorgeous.
Yeah. And David Gray, you told us you were going to be playing at it. You sang Three Babies, Sinead O'Connor song.
And he did it very well. He did it very well. He really did.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, it's a beautiful place. The audience, there was a lot of love in the room. And I think from all the performers, for both people, they're so unique. They're so cherished. But I think strange for everyone who was so close to them, as Victoria says, to be in that position. It's to be in Carnegie Hall, which is a kind of unreal, kind of heavenly room. It's like being inside a wedding cake.
Yes.
But I thought everybody did a marvellous job, and hats off to Tony Shanahan, who MD'd the whole thing, because you need a lot of diplomatic skills when you're dealing with 20 odd artists on one bill. Mm. And he handled it, not only the way he orchestrated the music and how everyone did their songs, but the whole thing just glided through perfectly. And there was a really special atmosphere by the end. Everyone was arm in arm singing Dirty Old Town. It was fab.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody jumped on stage at the end. Actually, you know, it's quite funny because when I watched Shane on stage, I used to get envious and I used to want to be there.
Yeah.
And so I did get an opportunity to sing Fairy Tale and Dirty Old Town. And it was interesting because I realized that I was kind of looking to now get off. You know, I was thinking, okay, it must be over now. Can we get off?
How long did it last? How long did it last?
Ages, like 10 minutes.
It could have gone on forever. There's a lot of people, it's hard to wrestle them off the mic.
The politics of that sort of thing is huge, isn't it? Give me the mic.
But it was interesting because the audience were such a big part of the show. You know, they were, at any moment, they wanted to jump out of their seats and jump up and down. And, you know, they're trying to make a mosh pit in the front. Yeah, I always picture Carnegie Hall being very sedate. I hadn't really pictured it being like a Pogues gig. But
and Victoria, how are you? Because is it still busy for you, or have you had quiet moments to reflect?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can escape the reflection of this thing because it's always there. I mean, every minute of every day, I'm aware that Shane's not there. You know. So whether it's a quiet moment or a noisy moment, it doesn't really make that much difference. But I think when you've got some pressure to do something or be somewhere, you know, if you have to get on a plane or you have to check out of a hotel or you have to, you know, pack your suitcase, that sort of gives you a task, which helps. I think it helps to have a task to do. Yeah.
And is his voice in your head? I know that's a strange question, but, you know, is he sort of giving you his opinion still, do you think?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, he was laughing a lot last night at some of the covers. But and it's just how he would have been in real life. I mean, he would have laughed at some of them because he never really ever approved of anyone's versions of his songs.
Right.
And he did get a kick out of it. He really did. So I could hear him laughing a lot. But he did. He really enjoyed watching Roisin. I could see, I could feel him, just so much love he was coming pouring through for Roisin.
And that's Roisin Waters, Sinead's daughter. And she sang Nothing Compares to You.
She was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent.
And David Gray, Three Babies, it's about parenthood, isn't it? The song you sang.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very haunted song. I read somewhere that Sinead said she wrote it sort of about miscarriages, really, but really it sort of anticipates some of her difficulties as a mother.
Mm.
But I think it has this majestic image of a horse, a wild horse, which she uses to compare herself as a creative being, a sort of skittish, mystical horse that runs through the song, which every time that horse appears in the song, every time I sing it, it has a strange electric charge. So of all the songs of hers to sing, I'm so pleased I got to sing that one. It really does carry something and reminds us what a great writer she was. I think that, you know, that everyone knows Shane was an incredible songwriter, but Sinead was as well. She wasn't just the voice. She had the same unflinching honesty. And it wasn't just heart on sleeve, it was everything on sleeve. You know, they both they wrote with real ferocity and lived with real ferocity and intensity. So I think that the two of them together, so different, so contrasting, but so unforgettable as well. The two voices in contrast, but you'll never hear anything like either of them ever again.
No.
And also, it's interesting to me, well, because I was reflecting on them both because, you know, I gave a little speech and I realized that they had so much in common. They were so, so similar in so many ways. Like, neither of them would have been diplomatic about last night. They both would have given their real opinions about it.
Yeah.
And it would have been very difficult to get either of them to dress appropriately for the evening. They would just wear whatever they felt like wearing. And, you know, they were just uncompromising. But you know, I think the things that they valued were for both of them were just so much more important than the things that most people value.
Mm.
You know, I mean, they just valued people and people being okay and, you know, people having enough to eat and places to live and not being oppressed and not being tortured. And so I think their minds were always on much higher things.
And Victoria,
you know, am I going to...
Of course, we played Haunted at the beginning of the show today, which is which is just such an amazing song, the two of them together. And
yes.
Did Shane ever chat to you about that song and duetting with Sinead O'Connor?
Oh, yeah. He felt that she absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
He
nailed it as well.
But I mean, for him, he always nailed it. I don't think he ever critiqued himself. In his mind, he was brilliant. But he absolutely loved her. And he loved her voice. And he loved her whole, like, when he first met her, was actually, I think it was in the late 80s. And he was just so blown away by her whole, her attitude and her... And as David said, her ferocity, but also her frailty.
Attitude,
it's a mixture.
Yeah.
They both invested so heavily in what they were doing that the point I tried to make last night before I sang was that we were all very honoured to hear Sinead's voice. It was something extraordinary. And she did more than feel music. She saw it as a place of sanctuary and redemption. The act of singing was transformational. The same thing for Shane. He found a stillness that maybe wasn't in lots of his life in his music. And that's one of the reasons it has such extraordinary transformative power, because there's an extra investment. This is life and death stuff. And I know it's just music. We have to remind ourselves of that as musicians. But they gave us everything they had, and that's why their legacy will never die, and that's why it was such an honour to be there last night.
Yeah, I was saying that they played Sinead O'Connor at the BBC, you know, the way they edit together all the performances from over the years. It was out last Friday, and she sang Famine. I don't know if you're familiar with the lyrics of that, but she's saying, to an English audience, she's saying that wasn't a famine because there were enough vegetables, etc., to feed us, but you took them from us. And she's the courage that, you know, to sing that to an English audience.
Well, I mean, I think Sinead epitomized courage in her life.
Mm.
She was afraid of stuff, but it didn't stop her doing things. And I think that's what is the definition of courage, is to do stuff that you're afraid of, that you believe in.
She
was incredibly honest, Ray, and I do think, looking at the two characters, who are we saying they were sort of imbalanced in the levels of courage that they showed in their work and the way that they lived their lives unflinchingly. Sinead was belittled because she was a woman and not taken as seriously. She was crazy. Her excesses were something that would could be poked fun at by the male misogynistic business, industry, press, culture in general. It's something that I reflect on when I look at the treatment that both of them received. The generosity given to Shane's excesses, but sort of the way that Sinead suffered very much, you know, her fragility was exposed. That's something I think I think on a lot, that they lived their lives in such a similar way, but she really did suffer, you know, a lot of criticism for the excesses of her behaviour, you know. And she lived from the heart and spontaneously, clearly. And as you say, had the courage to do things like that, sing about the famine to an English audience.
Yeah.
And the Margaret Thatcher line in Black Boys on Moped.
Yes, yeah.
You know.
Yes.
That was the other one. Like, she was saying, I'm leaving your capital city because, you know, of government policy.
Straight at the heart of the matter. You can't, it's unarguable what she's saying.
Yeah.
She's saying it with a moral authority. But, yeah, because of the excesses and the fragility was there, she was a...
He's gone.
And I think they also, both of them did a lot to advance the cause of mental health, you know, and the way we look at mental health, because they both had their own mental health issues. They struggled with depression, anxiety, and many other things. But I suppose they were both incredibly sensitive, like more sensitive than the average person. But they still managed to come out on top. You know, they were able to show that side, their vulnerability and sensitivity, and still be, you know, still share their work with the world and be appreciated.
And Victoria, what about you now, keeping Shane's memory alive? What are your plans?
Well, I mean...
I know his music is always there, but like things, events like last night and like, you know, obviously his memory is going to be kept alive, but I'm talking in more sort of institutional type ways, you know, are you planning concerts, whatever, books or whatever?
But yeah, I mean, I talked to John Reynolds last night.
Yes.
We talked about
And John, just for people who don't know, John was Sinead's producer and partner in life at the beginning.
He was her husband. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
At the beginning, yes. And he remained, obviously, her very, very, very dear friend and collaborator. So, we talked about that. And then I've just come from Tulsa, where there's an exhibition of Shane's lyrics and some of the art, but mainly lyrics and other pieces at the Bob Dylan Center there, which just opened, and that'll be on for another couple of months. And that's the first time that the Bob Dylan Center has featured an artist who isn't Bob Dylan, which is a big honor. So that feels wonderful, and they're keen to develop that, and they're keen to expand it and to perhaps work with me to tour that around the world.
I don't know if you know this, but just as I was with my mother the other day and we were talking again about Shane, because she spent some lovely time with him in her kitchen. And she was such a huge fan of his. And again, they would appear on paper to be worlds apart, but yet they were kindred spirits and they made a real connection that morning all those years ago. And she was very sad when he died. Anyway, she sends her love.
Thank you.
Victoria is such a lady. She so loves, says Stephen. There you go. So I know this is unfair to ask, but what was your standout moment? I know you said Roisin. Was it Roisin, or what was your standout moment from last night?
I feel it was a mixture. I think Roisin was spectacular. But I mean, for me, the standout moment was just being in Carnegie Hall and seeing all these beautiful musicians, and they're all so different. And each one of them, I felt, was under like a lot of pressure, because, I mean, it's a bit like doing a Bob Dylan tribute. You know, nobody can sing Bob Dylan like Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
so to tell people, okay, get up there and sing, you know,
Shane McGowan, be as good as Bob Dylan. Sinead O'Connor,
it's... Like it's almost an impossible task. Yeah.
So it was the whole thing was a special moment. Victoria Mary Clark, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today from New York, and we'll get to talk when you're back for a longer chat. Thanks, Victoria. Mind yourself.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks.
Bye.